beats, beats by Trill, straight Killerville, dog, 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 dog.
What's good? What's good? We are back. Another live from Vietnam Friday. I'm the one and only Paul Masson. It's Trillanoy's Tracks, and I have Mr. J with me. How y'all doing tonight, fellas?
All right.
That's what's up. That's what's up. We got a special guest, as always, tonight. This cat is a straight-up poet, and his name definitely says it all. Spit nothing but bars, nothing but real, real hip hop. Let's bring on the one and only Edgar Allan Flow. What's good,
peace,
man?
Love,
how
y'all.
You doing, man?
I'm good, brothers. How y'all doing?
We appreciate you coming on here, man. Yeah. And we doing good tonight, man.
No doubt. Glad to be here.
Let's start with the name. Like, how'd you come up with the name Edgar Allan Flow, or was it given to you?
Yeah, so the name Edgar Allan Flow was given to me by my partner in rhyme, Maul Demolish, way back in the days, back in our high school days. So I started rhyming back in 96, you know, we're going to show our age. But back in high school, in my senior year, I got with Maul Demolish, who was already doing tracks, you know, was already part of a group and everything. And he knew that I wrote lyrics, basically. And he was like, yo, you want to come to the studio for a track? Of course, I said yes. First time to the studio, dropped a verse. We did a song called Mad Mystic. And basically, that was our first track. Kind of gave me a whiff of what the studio life was like, and I was hooked ever since. So shout out to the homie Maul Demolish, man. He's out in Fayetteville right now, actually. And I've been doing some joint shows, collaborations out there. I'm actually dropped a video today, too, as well. So, but that's my homeboy. He gave me the name.
That's what's up. I was listening to your music all day yesterday and today. There was one record that really stood out for me was the Molotov record. Like, who produced that and what was like the inspiration behind that record?
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. Molotov is one of my newest joints. It's been several years since I've dropped something new. So this year in 2024, I told myself, you know, we got to get back on the scene, reintroduce ourselves to the game. And Molotov was that first single that I dropped in March of this year. It's produced by myself. I actually go by the producer name Slice Meister as well, which, you know, those that have kind of, you know, been around for a minute kind of have seen that name in my previous albums and kind of know of me on the producer tip. So, you know, I got my MPC 3000 t-shirt on right now. It's my number one drum machine of all time right there. Shout out Roger Lynn, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, I did the beat. And basically, it was a track that I had. It was a beat I had for years, but I just said, you know, let's see what we can do with this one. And put it out in March. It's been an incredible response. I did not expect, you know, my streams and everything else looking like they are so far and still ticking up. And especially after pretty much a decade of not dropping anything. My last album was back in 2012 called Flowetry in Motion. So, you know, to not have anything out and then suddenly have this type of response coming back on the scene, producing myself, mixing, mastering, recording, writing, marketing. It's all me, man. So, yeah, I'm really proud of that record and definitely got more coming.
Yeah, you should be, because the beat goes really, really hard, man. It really does. And I got another question, but I'm going to save it to later, and I'm going to let Mr. J and Trillanoy's Tracks kind of get their questions in right now.
What's going on, man? Kind of chopping it up a little bit earlier. I usually like to give people a chance to kind of talk about their background, talk about, you know, how they really got started. Just kind of give us a little bit of information on that, and kind of go into maybe your little bit of your affiliation with, like, you know, Justice League and things like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, so like I said, you know, I started back in 96 with my crew, The Undefined. You know, we were dropping independent projects and, you know, cassette tapes and everything. You know, it was a first time for everything back then, you know, being 18, 19 years old. And, you know, come a few years later, I went to North Carolina State University for my undergrad. And that's when I met for the first time Cesar Comanche. Who was, you know, basically working at a store right on Hillsborough Street at NC State. And we just kind of chopped it up. And, you know, coincidentally, we're both from the same spot. You know, I'm originally from Jacksonville, North Carolina. Comanche is as well. So once we kind of knew that, we just instantly clicked. And, you know, we had obviously the same taste in music. So, you know, eventually I got to also meet Knife. I met Knife Wonder. For the first time at NC State as well. And, you know, that's kind of how the Justice League got together, combination of cats from NC State and Central. And basically, again, it's back then, you know, you're talking like 99-ish, you know, that's when it was still kind of a hip-hop focus, you know, in the mainstream, but it was slowly, in my opinion, like 99 started to become that party era. And then when the 2000s hit, it became more party and just started swaying differently. But you still had, you know, pretty dope stuff back in 99. So again, we still could look at Source magazines and still talk about the same records and just have that camaraderie like that. And basically we just started doing tracks in the dorm room, and we kind of loosely affiliated ourselves and, you know, had a couple of shows around NC State campus. And I think Comanche kind of shouted out, you know, I'm introducing the Justice League. And most of us didn't even know we were in the crew until he kind of said that. And we're like, all right, cool. And we stuck with it and, you know, ended up being what it is today. You know, for folks that know Justice League, know, you know, Knife Wonder, Crisis, Little Brother, Sean Boog, Legacy, Median. It's 15 of us, so I could easily forget everybody's name. But
it's 15 of y'all?
Yeah, Justice League is 15 deep. So
is Joe, you know, Scudder part of that?
So shout out to my brother, Joe Scudder, man. I consider Joe Scudder the Capitana of the crew. But he's affiliated, he's still crew, but, you know, he's technically not part of the 15, but he's new in this just like everybody else is, and I love that dude. So yeah, man, it's 15 of us, 8 MCs, 5 producers, not including myself, a DJ, and a minister of opinion. Shout out Mike Burbs.
I'm about to say, who's the minister of opinion?
Yeah, Michael Bourbon, he'll tell it like it is. You know, when we had records or we would hear records out in the streets, and we valued his opinion. So we needed that as part of the crew as well as we were drafting tracks. So, yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, we already know who the minister of opinion is in this crew. That's Paul. You know, saying he got more opinions than anything, but like with me, I mean, my first question is, like after listening to all the music, I mean, matter of fact, you know what I'm saying, we talked before, you know, say the show went on, and I was telling you how, you know what I'm saying, like, you know what I'm saying, like nowadays, you know, I can listen to everything. Like, you know, back then I only probably heard a few tracks, but now I can just go through your whole catalog. But the one that stuck out to me was, you know what I'm saying, The Formula 2005.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That right there, you know what I mean? I don't know if you remember it, but was it 2005? But you know what I mean? The title was The Formula 2005. I mean, that one right there stuck out to me. You know what I mean? And shout out to old boy DJ Forge that produced the beat. I mean, if you remember the lyrics, it sounded kind of personal. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? What was behind that whole song right there?
Man, that was probably one of the first tracks that I recorded for my first solo EP. Called True Links, which came out in 2005. And of course, you know, me being an MC and a fan, you know, I never really thought that I would name a track with a year in it because it's easy to get outdated. So
yeah,
I was like, you know, if I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this. So I just did what I did, and shout out DJ Forge, you know, hit me with the track, and I was like, yeah, this is crazy. So you know, as far as the motivation for the track, man, it was just one of those things where around that time, Justice League was really starting to, you know, bubble and blossom, and My little brother was doing their thing, kind of starting more in like late 2002 to 2003, and the listening dropped. And the interesting thing about 2005, for me at least, is that Justice League, all MCs in Justice League had a project out in 2005. So to me, that was kind of our, you know, Wu-Tang 95 with, you know, GZA, Raekwon, ODB coming out in the same year. We all dropped something in the same year as well. So that was probably our apex or pinnacle as far as just notoriety as a crew. In addition to obviously Lil Brother doing what they did. So, but yeah, that track is just special to me because back around that time, I actually went out to New York to be part of the music video for Loving It with Lil Brother. And as I was heading to the spot for the video shoot, somebody hit me up and they were like, yo, you need to check the new Source magazine. You're in it. And I was like, yo, what? So,
wow.
I stopped somewhere, went to the, you know, bodega or whatever, grabbed a Source magazine, and I was looking in the, I can't remember what the name is, like the underground section, but it was Chairman Mao had shouted out the True Links EP in that episode, and that was the first magazine that I ever been in, and, you know, my first release, first EP, and it was just crazy. It was just like, wow, I'm in the Source magazine, you know what I'm saying? You know how special that is.
Yeah, that's us,
you know what I mean? So yeah, man, as far as the track, it was just one of those things where I recorded it because I was destined to try to drop something on a solo tip and try to make an impact. And it was just great to have that track actually highlighted in that underground section. You know, it's one of the highlight tracks. And shout out Chairman Mao for the recognition. But yeah, man, it's just one of those joints that, you know, it's pretty dope. And I love the horns in that joint and just how it was mixed and how it sounded.
It's dope.
Engineering hard as well. So just how it sounds was just great. And I just did the best I could with it, man. So definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah. I mean, do y'all want to go? You want me to go with my second question or what?
Go ahead.
I mean, my second one though, I'm the producer of the crew. So. You know what I'm saying? When you did that Arrest the President, Cypher God, okay, first of all, you know, Tragedy of Gaddafi, that's one of my favorite beats of all time. And that's from the, what, 80s? Or at least like early 90s? At least early 90 or whatever. I mean...
Yeah, it's around 90. It's around 90, yeah. 91, something like that.
Yeah, you know, yeah, that's one of my favorite beats of all times. And, I mean, what made you choose that beat to do a freestyle over it or whatever you did over it? I mean, to me, that right there was interesting because, I mean, I love that beat and you wouldn't hear nobody choosing that beat right there. So, if you can dig into that, you know what I'm saying, let us know.
Man, Arrest the President, man. That was off of my Streetwise LP, which was my debut solo album in 2008. And... It's hard to explain, man, because, you know, around that time, probably a few years prior, about 2004, 2005, again, when Justice League were kind of doing our thing, as a crew, we had taken a trip up to New York and we had visited Pete Rock at his crib and, you know, he was playing beats for us. And I saw the SP-1200 drum machine that he made classics on, like from, you know, 4 to 5 feet away from me. And then right after that, we went to see Marley Marl at Future Flavors, and I'm a huge Queensbridge fan, so you know, virtually every MC out of Queensbridge I'm a fan of. So Tragedy Gaddafi was obviously one of those dudes, you know what I mean, intelligent hoodlum back in the day. Just crazy with the lyrics, you know, introspective, still streetwise, and that just kind of blended with my aura as far as how I feel about, you know, being knowledgeable but still, you know, understanding the streets at least. And that track is mad up tempo. It's that 90, 91 up tempo, you gotta dance type of vibe.
92 up tempo, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like if you're gonna rhyme to that, you gotta come correct. So I was just motivated by that joint because, you know, it's got some political lines in there, but how he just orchestrated riding the beat like he did and still saying what he said. I was like, can I do something like that? You know, because again, I'm an artist, but I'm a fan. I'm a huge fan of this, man. And I tell people all the time, if you're not a fan of the music, stop doing it. If it's not fun anymore, stop doing it. So that was just one of those joints that I just grew up listening to. It always been something that I always listened to over the years. And I just said, maybe I can try this. So I just basically took the beat, kind of a portion of the intro and outro where it kind of breathes. And I looped it on a Cool Edit and basically just put it together, you know, mixed it and did all that and did the lyrics to it. And people talk about it to this day, you know, and I'm proud of that joint. And I hope Tragedy, if he's heard it, you know, hope he appreciated, you know, just kind of paying homage to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
well, we're definitely gonna chop it up and tag them in the Instagram post, that's for sure.
Yeah, you definitely, I mean, you did the beat justice, you know what I mean? Because I mean, you know, like you said earlier, you said you started like 96, like you didn't want to date yourself, but you know, I mean, I did my first beat, my first rhyme in 86. You know what I'm saying? Paul, don't say nothing. You know what I'm saying? you know, these niggas be calling me unk and shit, but I mean, like, to me, that really stuck out because beat selection, like, me, matter of fact, me and Paul talk about this all the time. Like, beat selection is the greatest important skill. You know what I'm saying? To me, as an MC, beat selection is above rapping skill. And you know what I mean? Like, that's the reason why I brought that question up, because that stuck out to me. And I played that song like 5 times over. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you really did the beat justice. I mean, you actually was on the same level of what he was talking about in that song. So, you know, I mean, just shouts out to you for that right there. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that. And that was the goal, like, to basically
not do
anything new or different, but just keep the same feeling, same vibe, same energy that Tragedy brought on that joint.
You did it justice. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure he has no problem with you using that beat and doing the rhyme you did over there.
Yeah, Speaking of justice, I got a Justice League question.
All right.
How is it that y'all are able to come together and get on the same page? And, you know, it's something that we kind of wish for Fayetteville, Vietnam, and we can't seem to get that in this city. It's a lot of just hate and everybody trying to tear everybody down. Like, how are y'all able to come together and get everybody on the same page? That many people, 15 people, that's a lot.
You know, I think about that a lot, too, because, you know, obviously nowadays, you know, we haven't really clicked like we did when we started. And when you think about it, it's like life, family.
Yeah.
It happens. Right. But, you know, one thing about us coming together, it all started with the music, in my opinion. You know, we started with 13 of the 15 originally. And had that going on for a couple of years. And around 2002-ish, we brought in Crisis, because Crisis used to always come to the radio stations that we went to. We used to go to WXDU at Duke University every weekend and just take over the station, play our joints, you know, joke, laugh, whatever. And Crisis was always around. He was kind of a student, still kind of learning. He was crazy dope with the beats. And that's what pretty much got us to be like, all right, he needs to join the team. So he came on, and then DJ Flash, our DJ, came on after that. But I really think it was just the love of the music, having the ability to just talk about joints in, at a deeper level than just at the surface, and we understanding what we're saying. You know, good example is there was a couple of shows that I used to do in Chapel Hill, the local 506 club, and
shout out to Kazi.
Yeah, what up, Kazi? And basically there was a joint that we were doing, and I think Knife was DJing, and he was like, Flo, come here. So I went to the DJ desk. He was like, he had a little CD play on the side. He was like, listen to this beat that I made. So I listened to the beat, vibing to it. I'm like, yeah, that's crazy. He's like, this is yours right here. And it ended up being a track called The Torch. And that's probably one of my, you know, most popular, well-known songs that also came out on the Streetwise LP. But right after he did that beat, hear that beat, he was like, listen to this Pete Rock record. So then I was listening to a Pete Rock record, and it was Back on the Block with a CL Smooth, which they hadn't really done any joints in a few years. So when I heard that, I was like, what is this? And then, like, later on, I would say probably a few weeks later, what have you, he was doing live streams at the time and just playing original samples. And, you know, we did a lot of that back in the days as well, just being like, look, how did Primo make Can't Stop the Prophet with this half a second sample. You know what I mean? Like we analyze stuff like that and just be absolutely amazed to the point where we just respect our legends, we respect the music, we respect the culture and the art of this. And I think that's what really had us gel at an early age as we were starting to get together. You know, certain folks kind of knew each other already and were already kind of clicked up. But when we kind of saw that we had, you know, commonality with music that we liked to listen to, and we were all dope, it was like, why not get together? You know what I mean? Why not do something? And as we started doing shows and getting recognition and started opening up for some bigger acts and, you know, again, LB got their deal and dropped the listening, just everybody started paying attention and we took it seriously and it happened so fast. So I'm glad that we were able to gel before it became this huge thing, because if we weren't as tight as we were, you know, it may not have lasted as long, you know what I mean? So just that love for the music and the art, man. We can go to a show and it'd be, you know, me, Knife, Crisis, Comanche, Boog, and, you know, it's a show with Madlib headlining. And we sitting there in the crowd like everybody else in awe because he's playing joints off the J Dilla and Madlib album before it even came out. And we listening to these joints like, what is this? You know what I mean? So just the fan in us, man. So that's what definitely got us together. And I will say that, you know, as, you know, other artists in the scene were doing their thing as well, you're going to always have those riffs or disagreements or, you know, even hate in some ways. But you know who has good intentions and who's real and who you know that you can have a bond with. So, you know, for me, I felt like I was always that common denominator where I got along with everybody and continue to, and people can kind of feel my aura and just understand how I get down. So, you know, I never try to get into any nonsense because, again, this is me, man. Like, you know, I grew up in Jacksonville, North Carolina, but also was for a few years, got family up in Atlantic City, New Jersey. So 5, 6, 7 years old, breakdancing, looking for cardboard, you know, to breakdance to, pop lock and all that. You know what I mean? My first show and tell at like fourth grade was reciting LL Cool J for my classmates and all that, man. So it's just been a part of me since day one. So, you know, so everything else is kind of secondary. It's all about this hip hop thing.
You spoke on some of your catalog and stuff like that. You had the Chronicles of Edgar Allan Poe, the Streetwise LP, Poetry in Motion, and Road to the Streetwise. What do you think is your best, you know, piece of work or your best song, or something that resonates with you the strongest?
Man, I will say as far as projects, probably my most favorite project is Poetry in Motion, just because that was my last project in 2012. Shout out my homie Jay Wills out in Virginia. Basically got with him to do the entire album. He produced the entire album. And it was another level of me just feeling very comfortable with my pen and just kind of, you know, delivering some of my best performances in the booth. And that was an interesting album because I was able to go to Virginia, and Jay Wills is tight with Knotts. So I was able to meet Knotts for the first time and, you know, go to Knotts studio, listening to beats. This is like 2008, 2009. And, you know, seeing Bilal, you know, recording vocals in the booth just at random. I'm just like, wow, you know what I mean? So it was just a really dope experience. I was able to get Royce to 5'9" on the joint. Shout out Royce, shout out Terminology. We did a crazy joint called Mighty Flow Young. And, you know, I had LaToya Williams from out in the West Coast on the joint, which was great. So, yeah, man, that's my favorite project, just based on, to me, just kind of stepping it up lyrically. And I had a 4-year gap between albums. So I had Streetwise LP in 08 and then Poetry in Motion in 2012. And I just felt like, you know, kind of had to step up. As far as tracks or individual tracks, you know, I always try to, you know, base my favorite on the fan response. And I would say The Righteous Way to Go is probably the one, just because, you know, me and Knife did that in July of 2001. And this was before LB was a thing. This was just when Justice League was just doing their thing, and we were recording tracks just to record. And Knife sent me that beat. I was like, okay, there's something special about this. And I went back to my apartment. I wrote it from like, I wrote it one night, but it was like 3-4 in the morning before I finished. I think it started at like 10:30 or whatever in the evening and finished at like 4 a.m. And next morning I called Knife and I told him, I said, I think we got something with this one. So we recorded it and it just took off. And I think a lot of people recognize that joint when they think of Justice League joints. So that's definitely number one for me.
Word. Well, I guess, you know what I'm saying, we about to wrap this up. And you know what I mean, like I said, though, you know what I mean, like, I mean,
any shout outs?
More, I mean, I've heard more music, you know what I'm saying, lately than I've heard, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, in the so-called heyday. And, you know what I mean, I appreciate it more. I'm pretty sure anybody, you know what I'm saying, in our era appreciates everything more, you know what I'm saying, now that we have more access to, you know, say we have more access to everything that everybody's done and stuff like that. But you know, shout out to North Carolina. You know, you're a North Carolina representative and we love you. So after that, like what you said, Paul, you got any shout outs or anything like that?
No, like any shout outs you want to do before you go, man?
Hey man, shout out to y'all, man. You know, I've been watching y'all episodes, man. I don't know what y'all doing with the yay or nay or whatever, but
oh yeah.
That is hilarious, show. Y'all be wilding.
Man, we light work. I mean, man, we are light work compared to these, man. Come on, Paul.
Yeah, man, this cat's out here roasting some of these songs as soon as they come.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, shout out to doing what y'all do, man. Y'all do great. And you know, and we talked about this before the show, but just kind of documenting the history of North Carolina and North Carolina hip hop in general.
Yes.
That's a big deal because it's very easy for history to fade away. And
very easy.
North Carolina as a whole is super rich in history. You know, I think that's what motivated me as well, you know, as a young one coming up, you know, to just know that, you know, Lords of the Underground recorded at, you know, Shaw University, you know, their videos.
Man.
And Big Daddy Kane is in the mall where I just, you know, just happened to just walk by him and it's Big Daddy Kane, you know what I mean? So it's just like, we got so much history here. So it's
great. And we got Sadat living in Raleigh now too.
Hey, look, I was there when a special ed got his ass whipped. Hey, what? I was there.
Yo, man, don't be bringing that up, man. We trying to interview him.
Hey, he still got his ass whipped though. Come on, man. Shit. He got his ass whipped. Hey.
The funny part about Sadat X is, you know, maybe I shouldn't even say this, but, you know, he talks about it on his social media. So he works at a hospital or whatever.
The
hospital that he works at is a spot that I used to be at. So, you know, at random, I would just kind of look up names or whatever, and I'd be like, Derek Murphy. And I look up Derek Murphy, I'm like, that's Sadat X. He working here, you know what I mean? So just to know he's here and just like a legend, Brand Nubian. And I listened to so much Brand Nubian back in the days, it's ridiculous, man. So you know that's just what's so interesting. You know, Smooth the Hustler got connections here, you know, Infamous Mob, all kinds of cats.
So, I got connections with that too. I mean, hey, Paul,
we had UG for the Cellar Dwellers, his pops is from Vietnam.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just amazing that connection of New York, you know, area in North Carolina is deep here.
We're cousins, basically.
It's always
New York.
It's always been. Yeah. It's always been there, though. Yeah. And I know Paul get mad, though. You don't say one more question, though. You say you producing. What you using?
What am I using, yo?
Yeah, your weapon of choice.
What I got you the shirt for a reason. So, you know, I got the shirt for a reason, man. So, you know, this is my number one machine right here.
NPC. I had that, man. I had that in 99, man. I wish I had it now, but yeah, I had that one in 99.
Yeah, but if I could do this real quick, just show you the studio. So I'm in my studio right now. I got an SP-1200, the new one, and NPC 3000.
You got to roast them. I see you got to roast them, the SP-12. Yeah.
Yeah, NPC 60. Just got that a few months ago, so you know I'm deep on these beats, man. And like I said, I'm inspired by Pete Rock, Large Professor, all of our legends, man. So yeah, man. My favorite 16-bit machine is a 3000. My favorite 12-bit machine.
I miss it. I wish I never got rid of it. Yeah.
It's a classic.
Yeah. Keep dropping
the Molotov now. Records, man, for us, and send us one over for the music reviews. You know you're gonna get a yay.
How y'all get down? I don't know what I'm gonna get.
Man, we the nicest niggas on the internet. I mean, I don't know where they get this from. You know what I'm saying? Hey Paul called me at work this morning, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, you calling me at 9 o'clock, dog, to tell me that.
Because you tried to say we wasn't brutal, but I was clipping up, man, the reviews. I was like, man, a couple of them was brutal, man. You was laughing.
Man, no. He said, you know what I'm saying? Just
you
me.
Said,
he was
like, man, you said brutal. I gave him a okay because I must be working for the man and stuff. Like, damn, yeah. They definitely.
Man, hey, look, I don't watch. I don't watch no episode back, so I don't know what the fuck I said. You know what I'm saying? Shit.
I got to clip them all up so I see it all, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, well, shit.
I'm gonna plug a joint for y'all. So you know, like I said, I got Molotov that's out. I drop a joint with Cesar Comanche called Krem Zeke. That came out in April. And I got another single coming out on June 12th called Flow Almightier.
Yeah.
And all these joints are produced by Slice Meister. So be on the lookout for that. I'll send y'all that joint.
Shout out to Cesar, man. I did a write-up on him a couple years back.
Yeah. Yeah, shout out Cesar. So yeah, so I got some more joints coming. I got a new EP called Balco Theme that's looking to push that out in July-ish. And these singles will be on that EP. So I'm just trying to get people used to the sound and just kind of how I get down the production too. Yeah. And, you know, the biggest, again, it's called Balco Theme because my record label is called Balance Coalition Music Group, B-A-L, Balance Coalition Balco. And, the whole theme of it is balance. So there's no samples on the album, all produced original, you know what I mean? No samples. It's clean lyrics for all ages. So I'm just trying to do something to help balance the game out. I'm not saying this is going to balance the entire game out, but just trying to put something out there to show people that it's possible to still do dope hip hop and do it differently than what you see every day on TV, videos, you know, what have you. So that's coming hopefully in July, and I'll have a full-length album coming this fall.
That's what's up. When I get off here, I'll be sure to send over all our contacts. We like to keep in touch with everybody. It becomes a friend of the show.
Yeah.
And if you want to come back on, you know, just let us know. And, you know,
we'll Anytime.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Definitely, man. Appreciate y'all, man. For real.
Appreciate it, man. Word. All right, man.
All right.
Peace. Well, Edgar Allan Flo.
Another one in the books.
We'll check him out. He got nothing but dope music.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's funny, like with these interviews, like if you go off the music, you are not getting the person that, you get what I'm trying to say? Like, you know what I mean? Like if it's you just listen to the music, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like doing these interviews, man, you get a whole different personality.
Well, the Molotov record, that record go hard. That beat go hard. Like,
I mean, I'm just saying. Like, I mean, like, besides that, like, it changes everything. So when you go back and listen to the music, you'll say after talking with them and seeing their personality and they, you know, what I'm saying, like, I mean, it's crazy though. I mean, I like this shit.
And he dropped a lot of names in there, man. Like,
yeah,
a lot of names. Make sure y'all follow him on Instagram at E A Flow. That's Edgar Allan Flo. One of the coolest names I ever heard. And we about to get into a quick commercial break, and we're going to be right back.
Right, Mike.
Tropical drink. Me and my team will never be link up. They're gonna be drink up. We sit down and relax and have few glasses when there's things to think about. Like I'm nice with the boss when I tend to the boss and I'm not talking drink pops. So tell the bartender that's tending the bar to please pass me a big cup of. And tell that waitress is waiting on us to put a little ice in it. Now watch the ice become weightless like the spaceships that I be sitting in. No waiting, listen, no they're waiting for that tropical twist. That'll take a good taste bud. Now taste some. Now I insist it's the drizzle.
Thank you.
You're back.
Thank you.
And don't forget, you get your dizzle If you don't Dizzle, you need to. Dizzle is a premium luxury liqueur mixed with agave, tequila, cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. Throw your Dizzle on ice, and it's nice. Go to DizzleBrand.com. We got the cans out now, too. Four different flavors. You know how we do, man. We got a couple topics we're going to get into. Shouts out to Edgar Allan Flo for coming on from the Justice League. Go check him out. He got a lot of dope records. Ninth Wonder production, Crisis production. And like he said, his newest record he produced himself. I was asking because I was like, yo, who makes those beats? I need to get one. That's why I was trying to ask. I'm trying to get the the plug. So now I know. Yeah. Who wants to start this topic we about to get into?
The Method Man.
Yeah, we're gonna start with the Method Man. What'd you think about Method Man saying he would not perform at Summer Jam again due to age gap?
Start with you, Jay.
All right. Let's start with you, Mr. Jay. M-I-S-T-A.
One time for the one time. I think the problem is the booking. You know what I'm saying? It's not necessarily the age gap itself. I think if they had a wider spread of different artists on the bill, it wouldn't be that way. You know what I'm saying? You'd have more people kind of gravitating towards them because they were killing the show. They were killing their performances. I can probably guarantee the other cats weren't performing as hard as them or displaying that much energy. So you got these tweens kind of sitting on their hands and with their arms crossed and all this other stuff. You know what I mean? And the reality is we do have a generation that's a little bit disconnected from the history. So you don't have that regular rotation of older artists who are in their playlist or maybe in their face on a regular basis. That probably could be helped out with a certain collaboration between different artists. But, you know, you don't want to see, a good artist or a real MC on a track like Ice Spice or nothing like that. That's foolishness. So, you know what I mean? But you do want a better representation of, age span of different artists. So I can kind of understand what he's saying, but I don't want to step away from it entirely.
Let me ask you this before we get into Trill, what he got to say about this. Why is there a disconnect?
It's a disconnect because of the things we constantly keep talking about. There's a commercial level, and then there's an artist level. There's an independent level. So
none of it has nothing to do with shitting on like new artists like Soulja Boy when they came out and stuff like that.
I don't know if you could call it just trashing artists. You know what I'm saying? It's there are levels to this, and there are standards that were set by the people who came before some of these newer artists. You know what I mean? There's certain newer artists that people connect to, like people have a lot of respect for a Scarlett or a Coast Contra. You know what I'm saying? Those are younger artists that people respect their artistry and their lyricism, but they are not getting the type of spins or the type of recognition that a Ice Spice, Sexy Red, JT, or somebody else, from that new, I guess, stripper rapper era is getting right now. You know what I'm saying? So it's difficult to cross that, like I said, because you don't have those artists getting played on regular radio, commercial radio like that. So, XM radio's got artists like that are rocking, and everybody got that in their internet radio playlist or whatever, but it's not on your local radio station, the corporate, corporate owned radio stations. So you're not seeing the growth or the connection between the different artists.
What do you think, Trill?
I mean, at first, I had one opinion. I think I was swinging more your way, but now I understand what he's saying, though. Like, As far as Mr. J said, though, you know what I mean? They didn't have the right enough balance. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, you should ease, you know what I'm saying, some of the old with the new. Like, you know what I mean? But, you know, I mean, I understand what he's saying, though. It's like, you got to understand, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, hip-hop is 50 years old. And then on top of that, you know what I'm saying? Like, some of the greats are 50 years old. You know what I'm saying? So at the same time, like, you know... I mean, I understand what you were saying, Paul. Like, you know, I mean, okay, yeah, Sexy Red is the okay. She was the main artist, right?
So you so you should know better than taking that show when she's the headliner.
I understand that part. What you're saying,
you should already know what kind of crowd you're gonna get, man. Like, unless you've been living under a rock. Unless you've been living under a rock. I mean, what are we talking about?
At the same time, it's Summer Jam. Like, you know, like.
I get it. Okay. He went for the money. But he went for the money.
He don't need the money though.
It ain't like
Method Man need no Summer Jam money. You know what I'm saying? Especially as an opening act. Like Method Man though, he don't need that money. You know what I mean? He doing power. I mean,
I'm just saying, I mean, like
he's still touring and stuff like that. But my thing is this though, like, okay, I will agree with that. I don't think you should have expected a better response, being that Sexy Red is the opener. So you know what I'm saying? You already got all these pussy popping ass bitches out there and all that type of shit like that. You know what I mean? So I get that part of it, but at the same time though, Hot 90s.
You can't expect too much balance on a Sexy Red show. What are we doing? We're gonna have KRS-One perform too? Get the fuck out of here, man.
Okay, I mean, but first of all, it's Hot 97. It ain't that Sexy Red show. It's a Hot 97 show.
Like New York,
it
the New York.
It does
sound,
matter.
This is the problem. This is where you said something earlier that stuck out to me. You said they need to blend the old with the new. They had an opportunity to do that during the Hip Hop 50th, and they didn't. All they did was just promote the cats from times before. They had a time to kind of bring in new artists with the old. They basically, with the Hip Hop 50, you didn't see no new artists hardly on the Hip Hop 50s, man. It was just all older artists, man. From 90s,
I understand
to
that, 80s. But you know what I'm saying? But this is Summer Jam, Hot 97. Like, they should have been
And you been in New York lately, man? New York ain't that hip hop sound has been out of New York for a while now.
I'm just saying, but I mean, that's not the point though. I mean, the thing is, like, it's still Hot 97 though. Like, Hot 97 should have did a better job. You mean, Summer Jam has a long history way before Sexy Red,
man? They trying to sell tickets, dude.
I mean, but they still didn't do a good job though, because you know what I mean, like.
I mean, they still could have sold tickets if they balanced the show out. And it's Hot 97. There's got to be some standards for the culture.
Exactly.
Some standards for the culture, or there won't be a culture.
It's been lower, dude.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Hot 97 and WBLS 105.
Standards in mainstream hip hop. And I don't even call mainstream hip hop too much no more. To me, it's just rap culture. Mainstream rap is that's what it is. Because anything hip hop is just really underground. It's really underground like major independent. You know what I'm saying?
If anything, you know what I'm saying? We might need to come at Ebro. You know what I mean? Ebro runs Summer Jam now, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, if anything, you know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody need to go at Ebro about that shit.
Yeah, you would think, like, Ebro wouldn't have Sexy Red as a headliner, being Ebro
No. First of all, there's nothing wrong with having Sexy Red as a headliner, because Sexy Red is popping. She the shit right now.
No, see, I think this is what y'all missing, man. This is what y'all missing. Like, when you're booking shows and tours, right, and you're booking openers for these headliners, you have to have artists that fit.
And that goes back to Ebro.
And that's why it's like, if you're going to go with Sexy Red, you're going to have artists that really fit more with Sexy Red, man, for it to work.
Ebro runs
Summer
Jam.
You don't have this is how I look at it. You don't have an artist that should be opened up for like Raekwon, opening up for like Sexy Red. And you don't have an artist that should be opened up for Sexy Red, open up for somebody like Raekwon. You know, like,
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, we put people on tours and as openers, and it's no different as Method Man. Yeah, they got booked as the opener, but you still got to make the opener fit with the headliner somewhat.
Okay. Now, going back to what you just said. Okay, Mr. J, Ebro controls Summer Jam, right?
He controls the station, yeah.
Summer Jam, I mean the original, I mean, the Summer Jam is a 97, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a radio station, right?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody knows Ebro controls everything on that shit right there. Okay, you know what I'm saying? This right here is not a tour. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, every city has a Summer Jam, but you know, I mean, every city has a Summer Jam.
Yeah, but have you seen our Summer Jams when we did them in Fayetteville? All the artists were kind of alike. They fit.
Okay, I mean, but the Summer Jam in Fayetteville is not the original Summer Jam. It ain't sponsored.
Nobody said it was. All I'm saying is when we did Summer Jam, they would have. Like, if you're headlining with like a certain artist, all the other artists pretty much fit with their demographics for the most.
Okay,
part.
The real Summer Jam is sponsored by who? 97.5, right?
Yeah, 97.
All right. Fayetteville Summer Jam ain't got shit to do with 97.5. You know what I mean?
Okay, but what summer, you keep talking saying, about 97.5, like they still are, like they play nothing but hip-hop.
I mean, no, all I'm saying is the Summer Jam that was in New York, okay, I'm pretty sure that, like we said, the Summer Jam in New York is curated by Ebro. You know what I mean? He is the program director of 97.5. He curates a Summer Jam too. So, you know, being that he asked Red Man and Method Man to come to that show, okay, you know, out of respect, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure they knew what the lineup was going to be regardless, but, you know, out of respect, they did the
show. Both of them should have known better. Ebro and Red Man, all three of them should have known better. Red Man and Ebro.
Okay, so would you say,
this ain't the show for you.
The problem is that Hot 97 tries to hold themselves to that standard. They try to hold themselves as the real hip hop, and they're not doing a good job.
You can't do that. You can't say we're the standard of hip hop when we got the headliner Sexy Red, though. You can't do that.
So what you saying?
Book Eminem is the headliner or something, or Jay Z or J. Cole or Kendrick Lamar or something. And
none of those people finna do Summer Jam no more. So what you saying is that
not for that money.
Then on top of that, Red and Meth.
Headliner was Sexy Red. I wouldn't have had Red and Meth. I went to them to be the opener anyways. I wouldn't have went to them.
I mean, don't come down on Red and Meth like they needed the fucking money.
How many
New York artists did they even have on the bill? Because I mean, it's a New York station. You got to have New York artists. Sexy Red is from St. Louis.
And then on top of that,
who says you got to have New York artists?
Hey, look, man. And then on top of that, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You got Red and Meth. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
rules right now, man.
Maybe they did it on the strength. Maybe they did that shit on the strength. You know what I mean? Like, come on now.
Your own rules right now, man. Like,
no, I'm not.
Y'all making up rules that don't really apply and standards that really don't apply at all no more, man.
So tell us what are the rules and standards?
Standards and rules, man. Do you see what's going on in the industry, man? It's cutthroat, man. It's cutthroat. There's no rules, man.
Okay, well, we're talking about Summer Jam, not the industry.
It's part of the industry, dude.
So what are the rules and the standards that apply to Summer Jam?
But I ain't blaming nobody.
But what I'm saying is, okay, so Summer Jam in Fayetteville, I bet you Sexy Red won't be there. So then what you know what I'm saying? Then you know what I'm saying? Well, what's the excuse then? Sexy Red ain't doing the fucking Summer Jam in Fayetteville. You know what I'm saying? Sexy Red ain't gonna do the Summer Jam in fucking goddamn Sumter, South Carolina. You know what I'm saying? Every city has a Summer Jam. What I'm saying is Summer Jam as a main shit is New York City Summer Jam, 97.5, Ebro, program director, and the coordinator of all things Summer Jam. So, you know what I mean? Like, what I'm saying
I'm
is...
I'm just saying, y'all clinging on to the past
now, man.
I'm telling y'all the rules. There ain't no rules no more, and there ain't no standards.
So why we arguing?
Are you listening to this shit?
Ain't there no rules, no standards.
What did old boy say about our show, man?
That's the problem.
Why are we out here wilding on music reviews? Because the music.
You know what I'm saying? If we're going to go off rules and standards, then, you know what I'm saying? Hey, Red and Meth got more money than all the motherfuckers that perform ahead of them.
The rules
after them.
Only apply when you sign to the major labels. The rules only apply when you sign to the major labels, man. If you're not signed to major labels, there is no rules. And you set your own standards. But mainstream culture has no rules. Really no rules or standards at all, because it's just a free fall.
And that's the problem. That is the problem.
As a culture, all right, let's get to the next topic, though. Because this next topic, this next topic, I have us on here for a long time, too. What do you think about the rankings of Apple Music's top 100 albums? And let's kind of just stay with the top 10.
I think they need to move them around a little bit. I respect Lauryn Hill, but she can't be above
a lot of bit.
Stevie Wonder. I mean, Stevie Wonder in and of itself. I mean, just Inner Visions, Songs in the Key of Life. Like, come on, man. Just two of his things are just too iconic to not be, you know, one or two. Like, it's just crazy.
Just Stevie Wonder? Just Stevie Wonder? Because I can name three more motherfucking albums that she shouldn't be over.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know about the Beatles.
It shouldn't be in the top 10, period.
I'd argue about the Beatles.
I don't care.
You say Lauryn Hill shouldn't be in the top 10 at all.
At all, period. Come on, man. All time. I mean, man, really? You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. No.
The fact they got that shit right over Thriller, like Michael Jackson's, like he's fucking.
Yeah, Michael Jackson.
Man, fuck that.
He's moonwalking in his grave right now, man. Like, for this, on that shit.
Fuck that.
And then you got it over Prince. You got it over Prince, Purple Rain, man. Get the fuck out of here, man.
Lauryn Hill shouldn't be in the. She shouldn't be in the top 20.
And the top 20. This is the biggest problem I have.
Fuck that.
Nirvana at number 9. Get the fuck out of here. Man, they're top 3 all time. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Nirvana is top 3 all time.
Yeah, you know, hey.
Top 3
you know
all time.
You know, man, I usually don't agree with the Caucasian persuasion, but you know what I'm saying? To me, you know what I'm saying? Nirvana's never mind. Never mind, dog, is top 3 to me, too, yeah. Lauryn Hill ain't
top 10 maybe not top
10. Nah, man, top 3.
Nah, man, you tripping, man. You tripping.
Ain't do it. Not
I mean, for real. Time, for real.
Not with Michael Jackson, not with Prince.
Yeah, it is.
Hold up. Top 5. Yep, I take that back. Top 5. You know me? Because I got Michael Jackson. I got Michael Jackson number 1. And the funny thing is,
number 1. Yeah.
And look, I don't even have Prince in my top 10. So yeah, shoot me, but yeah, I do not have Prince in my top 10. I mean, complete albums.
What up, Black
Wild? You know what I'm saying? I mean, Prince has a lot of singles, but you know what I'm saying, man. Michael Jackson has. Matter of fact, I mean, Michael Jackson might be. Michael Jackson is too deep in the top 10 albums of all time to me. He two albums deep. He two spots deep.
Off the Wall, Thriller.
He two spots deep, man. Off the Wall and Thriller. Come on, man. Period.
And we're gonna actually put
put one in there. They could have put in there Bob Marley Exodus. They could have put that in there. That should have been in the top 10.
Are we actually gonna put Kendrick Lamar in the top 10 too, man?
No.
We're putting that over Illmatic.
You know what I'm saying? It's funny that shit came out, you know what I'm saying, after the beef with him and Drake. That list came out. Man, fuck that shit, man. Kendrick ain't getting, you know what I'm saying? Look, I can't even think of 30 records right now, but he is not in those 30. I mean, letter? Seriously.
Are we putting it over 18 letter?
Man, Kendrick Lamar ain't over nobody.
I don't know if I put 18
letter. Look, you know what I'm saying? Look, maybe Kendrick Lamar, he is not over anybody in my top 30, and I can't think of 30 right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Man, fuck that. I mean, come on, it's
Kendrick Lamar. A lot of recency bias.
In shit.
I mean, you definitely got to keep Stevie Wonder. They got Frank Ocean at number five. I forgot about that one.
Nope.
Yeah, you got Frank Ocean in between Stevie Wonder and Prince.
No.
I think he could be on the list. Frank Ocean.
Man.
You got Frank Ocean right behind Prince.
Man. Bob Marley should be top 10.
Man, the top 10, man.
I could put Bob in there. I would take Frank Ocean out.
Man, nobody should be in the top 10, man, before 1990.
Kendrick. And I don't know about Amy, there's no way I didn't even listen to Amy Winehouse album, and there's no way I could put it over fucking
Nirvana. Man, the best music ever made, man, was made.
No way I could put it over Nirvana.
You know what I'm saying? I remember hearing the saying, the best music that was ever made was made before 1985. And I can really agree with that shit right there, man. Anything in the top 10 is not above at least 89. Period. I'm standing with that right there. I'm standing with that shit right there, dog. The greatest music ever made, dog. The top 10 albums, top 10 songs.
You said 85 and before.
I'm gonna go with 89 and under.
Yeah, 89 before. I could.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna go with that. Anything after 89. Is not in the top 10, period. I don't give a fuck. Album, single, song, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Anything before 89, anything after 89 is not in the top 10.
So you wouldn't put no hip-hop albums in the top 10, basically?
Nothing in the top 10 before 89, dog.
What, and no hip-hop albums?
No hip-hop either, man. In the top 10?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Man, no hip-hop. No hip-hop, period, in the top 10. I mean, if you want to do a real serious top 10, like greatest shits, like, I mean, man, no hip hop.
Right, man.
Man, no hip hop. I mean, there's nothing hip hop in the top 10 of all time. I don't give a fuck what anybody say. Hey, fight me, shoot me. I'm gonna shoot back.
Because Lauryn Hill and Kendrick can't have the top two hip hop albums of all the time.
Man,
not
hell
my-
no. You know what I'm saying, man? This bitch opinion. Can't.
You
mean, man, this bitch
there's
can't,
no way I would put either one of those albums over Infamous.
Man, this bitch can't show to her own show. You know what I'm saying? You want to be great. You can't. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You late to your own show or don't show up? Man, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? Shit. Top 10 my ass. It's a great album, but man, fuck that.
Top 10 or top 20.
Of all time, there is no hip hop album in the top 10, period. I mean, if you love music and you know music, if you put a hip hop album in the top 10 greatest albums of all times, man, I mean, something wrong with you, man.
Well, that's it, people.
I don't know. That might be arguable if you're talking about maybe like influential.
Okay, I mean, I put it like this.
Maybe Run DMC or somebody like that.
Nah, honorable mention. Hell no, man.
Hell no,
man. Hell no. You know what I'm saying? Nah, fuck. You know what I'm saying? Fuck that shit. Man.
Top 10 all time albums.
Fuck that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You wouldn't have 90% of the stuff you have.
Now. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We're not talking about influential. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about greatest albums. I mean, fuck influential. You know what I'm saying? Like influential. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I'm saying? To me,
from beginning to end.
You know what I'm saying? I hate when people bring that shit. You know what I'm saying? Influential was like a goddamn a denomination in church, you know what I'm saying? That's like, oh, I'm Catholic. You know what I'm saying? That's Catholic, Baptist. You know what I'm saying? Fuck influential. You know what I'm saying? I mean, shit. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, everybody's influential when it goddamn hip hop. But
there's
know,
a lot like, of albums that. More influential I mean, great. Than Mobb Deep Infamous, and I'm not putting none of
I mean,
them over
great.
Mobb Deep Infamous.
Great album. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, okay. Matter of fact, we should be like this. Okay. To me, there is no rap, no hip hop. Album that should be in the top 10 of greatest albums of all time, period. But you know what I'm saying? So now we need to change it to if we had to pick one, you know what I'm saying? Like one honorable mention, you know what I'm saying? Number 11, you know what I'm saying? Number 11, who would that be? And that, you know what I'm saying? To me,
who you got next?
Shit. Damn, that's hard. I shouldn't even say that shit.
I definitely had to put Run DMC, Raising Hell, something like that.
Oh, hell no, man. Raisin, hell no. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I'm still going with Mobb Deep Infamous. I'm still going with Mobb Deep Infamous.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? Either that or Midnight Marauders, man.
But if I had to go off of influence, if I had to go off of influence and dope,
I'm going with Midnight Marauders.
I go with probably 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying.
Tribe Called Quest, Midnight Marauders, though. No. 50 Cent, you know what I'm saying? I mean, come on, dog. I mean, like.
Get Rich or Die Trying is a really good album, man.
I mean, yeah, it's all right.
It's an end.
It is not better than Midnight Marauders. It sold more than anybody, but you know what I'm saying? It's not better than Midnight Marauders.
We talking about influence and impact. Like 50.
Midnight Marauders, dog.
But it's crazy that they don't got a Tribe album in there, because Tribe has like three, what, like,
man,
top 100 hip hop albums or something? Like, they got all, like, more top 100 hip hop albums than anybody.
Man, Tribe has more game changing albums than anybody, though.
You would think that they would have Tribe.
Tribe has more game changing hip hop albums than anybody. Yeah. I mean, I'm going with Midnight Marauders. I mean,
it's
all subjective and it's all opinion based.
Are we putting Lauryn Hill's album over the Fugees album?
Man, Lauryn and Fugees ain't in the goddamn top 20 best albums of all time. Come on, man.
Is it even better than the Fugees second album?
I don't know. That might be a little bit arguable.
Man,
that's a debate. Album was really dope.
Man, matter of fact, man, I'm about to double down. You know what I'm saying, man? No hip hop album.
You got to get into specifics as far as.
I'm going to double down and say that no hip hop album should be in the top 20.
Grammy.
No hip hop album, man. No hip hop album should be in the top 20 best albums of all time.
Well, you heard it from our resident death metal expert.
hey, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But no hip hop album should be in the top 20 best albums of all time. All time, man. You know what I'm saying?
Hip hop's gonna have a ton of music reviews going for it. They're gonna have a ton of music reviews going for it.
Man, look, man. Hip hop is celebrating 50.
On your head, man.
Hip hop is celebrating 50. Hip hop is celebrating 50. Stevie Wonder drop when? More than 50 years ago. I mean, come on, man. I mean, you gotta be realistic about this shit, man. I mean, man, there's a lot of great music that came out way before fucking goddamn 1970 or 1971.
Shout out to Jones tuning in.
I mean, man, you got James Brown. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, come on. I mean,
that's one of my favorites.
If that's you know what I'm saying? James Brown is.
What about Ray Charles? Ray Charles ain't got an album on there? Ray Charles?
I'm just saying, like, you know what I'm saying, man?
Ray Charles on there, yeah. That's why I said it's a lot of recency bias.
I mean, though, and then on top of that, man, it's one person. I mean, everything is opinion based. So nobody's top 10 going to be the same anyway. So, like this right here should be like, you know what I'm saying, like bar talk. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't bring up politics, religion, or top music, you know what I'm saying? Shit like that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? This shit right here can start a fight. You know what I mean? For real. Trust me. If somebody was sitting here, you know what I'm saying? I might punch a nigga sitting right next to me right now, talking, you know what I'm saying, other than, you know what I'm saying, what I think I'm right with. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's opinion based, it's all on opinion, you know what I'm saying? It's not factual, but I will say this though, I will stand on this that. No hip hop album should be in the top 20 best fucking albums of all time in the music. Hip hop is only 50. Wow. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? We got the Motown era. You know what I'm saying? We got the 60s. We got the 50s. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. We got Ray Charles. We got goddamn Little Richard and shit like that. I mean, come on, man. Of all times, 20 albums.
We can't get one.
No. Nah. Ooh. Nah,
see, you're gonna make me get off here and have to research this shit now. Now I'm gonna have to go and like
research it. You know what I'm saying? Nah, you know what I'm saying? Look, you always call me old. You know what I'm saying? Mr. J, he always call me the old nigga. You know what I'm saying? Come on,
you're gonna have to make me some researching.
Come on, man. I mean, seriously, though, I mean, people hate to hear the truth. You know what I'm saying? Man, the truth is the truth. You know what I mean? If you really do the research on the top 20 best albums of all time. Hip hop won't even make it in the top 20, man. Name one that, you know what I'm saying? Name one that's worthy of goddamn compete with Stevie Wonder. Name one that's worthy of compete, you know what I'm saying, with Ray Charles. Name one that's, you
hold
know
up.
What I'm saying? With,
oh, yeah, you know what? Saying, that ain't, hold up. I just thought about it.
Nah,
no. No, I'm a hip hop nigga. I'm a hip hop nigga. Pink Floyd, the wall. Where the fuck is Pink Floyd, the wall?
Exactly. And we still talking about hip-hop.
Where the fuck? Yeah.
That means we can, you know what I'm saying?
Right. You might be right.
Man, you know what I'm saying, man? Man, I'm telling you right now, dog, you can easily name 20 hip-hop, 20 albums that, you know what I'm saying, of all time, and hip-hop won't even goddamn, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you can go to 30. You can go to 30, dog. You know what I'm saying? Hip-hop won't be mentioned. I mean, man, come on, man. All the greats, man.
And that's why we're no longer just a hip-hop show.
You know what I'm saying, man? Come on, man.
I know people hate the word influence, but there's at least 10 albums I know, man, that off of influence, off of just the sonics and the collaborations and the things that were done that hadn't been done before or opened the doors for a lot of things to be done since. At least 10 would merit some kind of discussion.
You say hip-hop?
In there, 10 to be in that
you say hip hop.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. These 10 albums you're talking about, are you skipping any song on that? Is there any skippables on that?
Any category, hip hop is not in the top 30.
No,
I don't give a fuck if you talk about influence.
That's going to be subjective. Because people,
there was a lot of skippables early in hip hop. Early hip hop had a lot of skippables.
But see, that's your particular opinion on a lot of early hip hop.
It had a lot of skippables for me.
But it had, you know what I'm saying? But everybody doesn't feel that way.
Man, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because
there's a lot
for
of
one,
influence in early hip-hop had turned the corner on certain things,
okay,
wouldn't be things going on today.
I'm just saying,
wouldn't exist
today. Yeah, but that has nothing to do with how dope the album is from beginning to end, song after song after
come
song.
Come on, dog.
Like,
yo, just, man, look.
Before you. Like, I hate this when people do this. Like, always bring this who did it before you thing, but it doesn't always apply, man. When you're talking about how good is the song beginning and end. Albums still got to age well today. Today. When I don't care if I listen to the 80s, the 70s, the 90s. When I go listen to it today, is it still age well? When I pop on that Lenny Williams, because I love you, that shit age. That's gonna age to the day I die. It's gonna age like fine wine. I'm gonna be like 230 something years old because we don't figure out how to live longer and shit. Hopefully by then, and that song's still gonna be bumping. It's still gonna be like, oh shit, Lenny Williams, because I love you, man. It's still the shit.
But this still
Rob Bass, Easy Rock.
Look. Like, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to John Jones. You know what I'm saying? He said, I bet none of the Apple curators are over 30. And that's a fucking fact. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? It ain't nobody my age. Ain't nobody. I mean, to me, if you're going to do the top albums of all times, I mean, you damn near have to be goddamn 70. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be Quincy Jones or somebody
he said Addicts top 20 of all time albums.
I mean,
that would be like the hip hop album that most people would probably.
Man, put in. I mean, my man, you know, my man 6ix6 at Illmatic top 20. I mean, but at the same time, man, top 20. Nas dropped in what 90?
I don't
what?
Even think that's his best album.
Nas dropped in what 90? What 91, 92? Illmatic.
No, that Illmatic was like 94, 95. I thought.
Okay. Come on, man.
94.
95.
I mean, my thing is this: you gotta think about this shit, man. You done had Stevie Wonder drop Mad albums. You done had the Jacksons. You had Michael Jackson. You had the Jackson 5. You had the Jacksons. You had Michael Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had Ray Charles, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you had Tina Turner. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, you had Ike and Tina.
If we say Al Green,
what up? I mean, man,
I got an album for you. Commodores, the fucking Commodores,
man.
Yo.
Yeah, the Commodores. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I love the Commodores, man.
Man, Aerosmith. Well, fucking, I mean, the list goes on and fucking on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on, dog.
I think you might be right, dude.
I mean, the list goes on and on, man. I mean, I hate to say it. You know what I'm saying? I'm a hip hop guy at heart. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is a hip hop show, but man, nobody in hip hop, to me, right now, can even make the top fucking 30.
Well, let's do this. Top 30. Let's do this.
To me, can't even make the top 30, dog. I mean, because my playlist right now, I mean, my playlist, man, I mean, I'm telling you right now, dog, it's 5% hip hop. And I love him, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then on top of that, like the 5% that's hip hop is golden era, like golden era hip hop. You know the golden boom bap, you know what I'm saying? That's a golden era. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm a boom bap guy, so I'm golden era hip hop. And other than that, man, I'm listening to fucking oldies. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, come on. I mean, to be honest, like, I mean, I hate to say it, but
like I said, majority of my playlist.
I mean, if you really did it, if you did a real deep dive and a real serious analysis, you know what I'm saying?
Rock and everything over here.
You know what I mean? I mean, you got rock albums. I mean, come on. I mean, there's so many artists we ain't even name right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, R&B, hip-hop.
The gospel.
You know what I mean? Come on, man. Like, hip-hop, like, come on.
What about R. Kelly?
See, there you go. There you go. You know what I'm saying, man? Come on, dog. Come on, Paul.
Hey, R. Kelly had a dope-ass album, yo.
Yeah, I mean, some dope albums. Top 30 of all time?
Oh, you now you're stretching it out. You was just on 20. You was just on 20. Now you push it out to the 30s.
I mean, 20. I mean, that right now. 20 of all time. I mean, you know, I mean, I got 6 kids. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I made four. I made 4 of them off. You know what I'm saying? Off R. Kelly, but you know what I'm saying? But he don't deserve top 20.
Play alone.
20. Top 20.
No, I'm just
top 20 of all time. Come on, man. Fuck that.
No, I'm just saying there's a lot of other artists like R&B and soul that you can name that we probably forgetting that had really, really dope albums and shit, man.
I know, but of all time.
And then you got rock. You still got rock and
all time, though. I mean,
is there any country out? You wouldn't put a country album in the top 20. I know that much.
I mean, no. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not white. You know what I'm saying? I'm not white like you. So, I mean, you know, no.
I don't think I would either, though. So,
you know what I mean? You know? I mean, you know,
I don't think
my mom.
You gotta be white to do that. I don't think you gotta be white to do that. I think you just gotta really listen to country.
I'm just saying. I mean, you told me last country. Week. You told me last week your uncle was Garth Brooks, so you know what I mean? You buy
Nah, but you always be giving the country songs like names, man.
Yeah, Paul Brooks. Yeah, but anyway, I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, of all time, I mean, but I'm pretty sure there's some country shit, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, like, of all time, there is no way that rap can be in the 20 best of all time, you know what I'm saying? When rap is only 50 years old. You know what I mean? We're talking about like a whole nother 50 years of music before that, of black music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, you know, but I mean, black people created all music genres. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot
you don't
of
hate
great
to
music,
say it,
man.
Say it.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, but look, though.
Say you hate to say it. Say it.
Ain't hey, you know what I'm saying? Hey, look.
Facts is just facts.
Hey, yeah. Look, man. Ain't
did you forget who you're on the podcast with?
Ain't no old school
conversations we have.
Ain't no old school R&B stations. Put it like that. I mean, hip hop stations. Ain't no old school hip hop stations.
Classic hip hop stations.
Yeah, exactly.
Flashback.
Exactly.
There's flashback stations now that are basically playlist stations.
And they play the same. Any DJs? Man, they play the same shit. They play the same shit over and over.
Yeah. Trust well, me. Basically MTV age stuff. Basically, what would be on MTV Jams.
And which will be that's 90s, you know what I'm saying? Late 80s and early 90s. You know what I'm saying? That right there, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I mean, perfect. like classic hip hop has a fucking little time frame, you know what I'm saying? But classic rock, classic soul, classic R&B, classic, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like they have a whole different range of shit. You know what I'm saying? But classic hip hop, you know what I'm saying? Like every time you turn on that bitch, you gonna hear Treat 'Em Right. You know what I'm saying? You gonna hear yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, am I wrong? No, bro, am
yeah.
I
on a commercial station, yeah.
Hey, look, dog.
Now,
you know
XM radio,
man,
something. XM radio,
man,
is different, but
man, no. I got Sirius XM in my car, dog. You know what I'm saying? Trust me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, all the black stations, I got them. You know what I'm saying? I flip through them bitches. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got the Groove Channel. You know what I'm saying? They play old 70s and 60s shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then they got another shit called XM Fly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they play the same shit, nigga. Every time I turn on that bitch, I'm hearing Rump Shaker. I'm hearing Treat 'Em Right. I'm hearing fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like you know what I'm saying?
Commercial,
I mean, like,
no, but the mainstream hip hop tracks of that song.
I mean, but those back, what I'm, you know what I'm saying? But those back to what I'm saying.
Treat 'Em Right was, like, Treat 'Em Right was a mainstream kind of crossover, yo.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
A4-5 or Rock the Bill. That's where you're gonna hear some different stuff.
I mean, no, I mean, yeah, I listen to Rodney Bell's too.
Treat 'Em Right was a mainstream crossover, yo.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I love the song. I mean, trust me, don't think I'm talking shit about none of this shit. But
I don't know if that, I wonder if that, that was intended. If that was actually intended, I'd love to interview Chuck Brock and like, was that
man?
The intention is to
First of all, you know what I'm saying? Hey, look, that was not intended to be a damn dance track. You know what I'm saying? When he said Yusef Hawkins, he was talking about Yusef Hawkins. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got people dancing when they say Yusef Hawkins. You know, say, you know what happened to Yusef Hawkins?
They played that shit in the skating rink like crazy, yo. That was a skating rink hit, yo.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he was talking.
That was a skating rink hit back then. Was commercial mainstream as fuck.
Man, he was talking some knowledge shit on that song, dog, with the dance beat. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, go back and listen. He said Yusef Hawkins. You know what I'm saying? As soon as you say Yusef Hawkins, you should stop dancing and bow down and start praying or you know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Man, Yusef Hawkins. I mean, go back and listen to that song and listen to the lyrics. You know what I'm saying?
Research.
I mean, take the beat off. You know what I'm saying? Listen to the acapella of Treat 'Em Right. And you know what I'm saying? Once you put the beat in, you know what I'm saying? You see why people, like, the beat was so infectious that, you know what I'm saying? People wasn't listening to what the fuck he was saying. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't nothing party or dancing about that fucking song.
Nah,
you know what I'm saying?
It was other just than the beat and the hook. It was the beat and the hook. And the hook was very simple.
It was the beat. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, Yusef Hawkins got fucking murdered. I mean, come on, dog.
All right, well, we about to wrap it up, fellas. Anything y'all want to shout out? We got music reviews tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern time. And we got Logic DGC coming on at the beginning. We're going to interview him before we get into the music reviews. Get a quick interview.
Shit, man. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Hey, You're going to do shout outs tomorrow before the music reviews, right?
Shout out to us. You know what I'm saying? Shit. Shout out to me. You know what I'm saying? Shit. Simple as that. Shout out to Live Fan. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to
Shout out to y'all. Shout out to Edgar out of Flow. Shout out to, you know what I'm saying, Ty Brule. We're going to rework that. Rework that trailer for the Underground Experience. Once again, Underground Experience, go ahead, tap in to the funder, www.empireegyptianlover.com. And of course, One Heartbeat Away, streaming on all platforms. Check out my man Paul and Jones, man. Check out their joint. Listen to their joint too, man.
You like that joint?
Yeah, man, y'all keep doing your thing. We're gonna get some stuff together.
Hey, in our business. Yeah. Check it out on the streaming platforms, even though, like, fuck streaming platforms.
Hey, man, it's everything and the kitchen sink. So
yeah, fuck streaming platforms, but check it out on the streaming platforms.
Yeah, that's how we do. Saying
everybody's music, man.
Check me out later on. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to go to I got my second gig tonight. You know, I'm about to go strip at the old folks home. You know what I mean? So, you'll say, hey, you'll say, my stripper name is Loose Change. You'll say, because I take quarters, dimes. You'll say, fuck the one. You'll say, my stripper name is Loose Change. You'll say, follow me on Instagram, TikTok. You'll say, you can find my shit. You know what I mean? You know, I'm naked. You'll say, underneath this shit right here, I'm naked. Say, all I got this shirt on.
Hey, yo. Say,
bald. You'll say, hey, balls hey, out.
Yo, balls.
You must have seen the picture with the naked barber, the naked barber shop getting the naked cut.
That's why I cut my own hair, right?
Yeah, there. You know what I'm saying?
That meme is why I cut my own hair.
That should have made me go hippie, man.
Subscribe, you know what I'm saying? Subscribe to the Live from Fan on Patreon, you know what I'm saying? I'll show y'all the bottom half. Ladies, yeah, I got you.
All right, we out. Peace.
Word.
beats by Trill, straight Killerville, dog.